So, this is the fifth episode of Becoming Adam. If you remember, the last episode was about my time in boot camp and AIT training. This episode is all about my marriage and the birth of my first son. Yes, I did get married and get pregnant. I do have the C-section scar to prove it. I really don't want to talk about my marriage, but it is an important time in my life. I want to add, at this time, the only contact I had with my mother was the letters I sent her and she sent me, an occasional Happy Mother's Day and Happy Birthday text, and Merry Christmas texts. We never talked on the phone, and I hadn't seen her since my grandpa's funeral in October of 2006. Yeah, I forgot to mention that in the last episode. While he was in California, he was having chest pain one day, and my grandma drove him to the hospital, but on the way, he said he felt better, and they turned back. He was watching a movie with Nicole when he said, "Carol, go get dressed. We need to go to the hospital." As he was getting up, he collapsed and went into a seizure. 911 was called, and they worked on him for a long time. But their airway was pumping air into the stomach at first. They finally got him back, but declared him brain dead at the hospital. The decision was made to pull the plug on the 20th of October, 2006. I had been closer to him than anyone else, so that really hit me hard. I hadn't seen him or really talked to him in over a year. The guilt and remorse I had was tremendous. At his funeral that they had in Michigan, in the church I grew up in, I had agreed to speak. And I had a poem written, but when I got up there, I cried and barely got the poem out. My dad sat there crying with me. That was the second time I saw my dad cry. On the 12th of September, 2008, I reported to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in my newly bought black Pontiac G6 that I was so proud of because I got the loan on my own in like 2.9% interest. It had a monsoon sunroof and Bose sound system. Anyway, back to the topic. I got to the base later in the day and I remember being so nervous. It was a lot of waiting around to be in processed, so by the time I got issued to bed, it was late. I got all my stuff unpacked and went to bed. The next morning at 5 a.m. was PT, and when I tell you that we ran like 5 miles. And I just about died because one, I was exhausted from traveling the day before. Two, I was already dehydrated. Three, I was out of the PT routine, being home for 3 weeks. And four, it was hot and so humid in Tennessee. I hated my life at that point, and I had never been a fast runner, so I, of course, fell behind, but I did finish, at least, even if it was way after everyone else. Since it was the weekend, we went and had breakfast, and then were released to do whatever until night call. I played a lot of Sims on my computer and talked to Josh on the phone. He was trying to get to Tennessee as soon as possible, and since he couldn't look at apartments, I went and looked at them when I could. So, back then I didn't have TomTom or navigation on my phone, so I had to literally go to MapQuest.com, type in where I wanted to go, write all of the instructions down line by line, and try to navigate a city I knew nothing about. Have I ever mentioned that I am terrible at directions? Yeah, it was an adventure. The apartment had to be fairly close to base, but not too far from Nashville due to his job. Also, a lot of apartments wanted your commander to sign off on you living off post and not being married. See, in the military, you lived in the barracks if you were single, and then once you got married, the military would give you a housing allowance, And that amount was based on rank to live off post with your spouse. Since I was not married, I could live off post, but wouldn't get the housing allowance. But my commander was not there because they were deployed, so I didn't really have an option. Well, like I just said, I found out the unit I was assigned to was deployed. So I would be temporarily assigned to Blanchfield Army Community Hospital until they got back. Instead of saying that whole long name again, I'm just gonna say BOC. Even though the unit was deployed, a few essential people stayed back for people like me. I was assigned a barracks room in a rundown building. The plus, I didn't have to share a room. But nobody told me I'd have to buy bedding and other things. The room had a twin bed, mirror, closet, dresser, and a desk. There was one male and one female bathroom on every floor. There were at least separate shower stalls with curtains on them. The little things in life. I got assigned my barracks room around the 16th of September and was taken up to the hospital to sterile processing department. To be orientated. This would be my new home for the next 4 months. For my birthday, I had bought two tickets to see Rascal Flatts in Michigan, and I took Josh, of course. I drove up the 19th, saw the concert on the 20th, and drove back to Fort Campbell the 21st. So I was turning 21, but couldn't buy drinks myself because it was the night before. Yeah, bummer, but Josh did buy me one. He wasn't too thrilled about seeing Rascal Flatts, but went with me because I wanted to go and I bought the tickets. His ex-wife was a huge fan, so he knew some songs, but didn't think he would have a good time. At the end, he did say he had fun, but he could have been lying. I spent my 21st birthday driving. Yeah, I know I was super boring back then too. The next weekend, my allergies were so bad that I took Benadryl every 6 hours and slept for 2 days straight. But I felt better when I woke up. While at Blanchfield, I never actually made it up to the operating rooms to use the skills I was taught, but stayed in sterile processing, which is still a very important job. I cleaned the instruments, put the instrument sets together, and got the case carts ready for surgery the next day. I would also send stuff up to the OR that they needed throughout the day. While I was there, I met a few women I liked, and they were Specialist Anna Bradford, Specialist Jennifer Esper, Specialist Angie Pitts, and Specialist Krista Lehman. They were a good group of tough women, and we usually had fun listening to music and talking and whatnot. Around the 1st of October, Josh informed me that he would finally be moving down in a couple weeks. That meant I had to find a place to live with him. I found a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment like 15 minutes from base and 45 minutes from the airport. He made the move in the middle of October. He was working at the time 4:30 to 10 a.m., so part-time hours, and was still in the inactive Marines, meaning he could get called back to active duty for about another year. Seeing as the military was desperate for people at the time, and we were in a state of war, we were worried about that happening. I would love to say that living together brought us together, but it did not. Living with him, I saw that he would play video games from the time he got home until around 8 p.m. when he would go to sleep. I would go to work all day and then come home to cook him dinner. I would tell him that it was ready, and after I ate mine alone, I would take his to him because he couldn't take 10 minutes to come out and eat with me. I would routinely go into his office and pick up glasses, plates, and just garbage because he was too lazy to walk them to the kitchen 20 feet away. I practically waited on him hand and foot. Also, he would come home and immediately strip down to his boxers and leave his work clothes by the front door. He claimed he did this so he could just take them to the dry cleaners, but they smelled so bad due to his stinky feet. He had to have his uniforms dry cleaned because he cared so much about his appearance, and that was a costly thing every week. I think in November, he got notice that they were calling him up to active duty, and he opted for Marine Reserves since it was less than a year left. He was going to have to travel to Kentucky 1 weekend a month for drill, but that was better than being overseas for a year. I mean, sex was fine, and we never did as much as he wanted, but I was tired from working and waiting on him. When I brought up to him the possibility of a threesome or just trying it with a female, he got disgusted and mad that I would even bring it up. I mean, what man turns down a threesome? Anyway, secretly, I was starting to despise him because of how little attention he showed me. One morning in January, I woke up and peed on a pregnancy stick because I was late, and I was usually never late. When those two lines showed up, 1 minute later, I was like, "Josh, wake up, I'm pregnant." He was asleep at the time, but immediately woke up and was like, "Are you sure?" "I'm pretty sure because I just took a test." He was like, "Well, make sure and then we'll talk about it when you get home." That morning I went to sick call and sure enough, I was pregnant. Since I didn't do PT, I didn't need a profile, which in the military meant restricted PT, but they didn't tell me anything else about any restrictions. When I got home, he already knew I was pregnant because I had texted him, and he said that because I was in fact pregnant, we needed to get married. The thing was, he wasn't even like a spiritual person, and I was the one that was, and I was okay with not being married. I guess I had a gut feeling about how it would turn out. Well, we, and by that I mean he, decided that while we were in Arizona in March, we could go to the courthouse and get married in front of my family and his grandparents. Since finding out I was pregnant, I decided that I didn't want my child to grow up not knowing his grandma, so I started talking to my mom again. I was still lifting weights and heavy instrument sets because I hadn't been told not to. We had two names picked out, James Allen and Madison Carroll. In early February, when I was about 6 weeks pregnant, I started spotting. I had yet to see my OBGYN, so I went to the clinic and they did an ultrasound and there was no heartbeat detected. Thus, I miscarried. Even though everyone told me it wasn't my fault, I felt like it was because I was still lifting heavy stuff and I was devastated, even though it was so not a planned pregnancy. My friend Jen, Krista, and Anna really helped me through this. A couple of days after finding out I lost the baby, my dad and grandpa were driving through Chattanooga to pick up a car for my dad, so Jen and I drove to see them. We had dinner at Longhorn Steakhouse that night, and when we got back to the hotel, I had really bad cramps and large clots coming out, meaning I was passing the fetus. I felt empty, and when I told Jen, she hugged me. The drive home the next day was very silent. After a couple days, Josh and I decided to try again when we were able in about 6 weeks. Also, he said that if we were going to try again, we still had to get married in Arizona. Looking back at it now, he wanted to get married to get the military health care because his knee needed a scope. Also, as a married couple, we would get a housing allowance, which meant more money. I only had a promise ring from him, so we went to K Jewelers, and while I was looking at rings for him, he quote-unquote designed mine. I literally got him one that was $100 because he couldn't wear it due to the webbing in between his fingers. I was like, yeah, it's just going to go around his neck, so I'm not spending a fortune. Mine had to be ordered so it wouldn't get there for about a week. So when it finally came in, he went and picked it up and brought it in. I was lying on the couch and he just tossed it to me and said, take off the other ring. There was no proposal or anything romantic. Was the ring pretty? Yes. Was I offended? Of course, who wouldn't be? So we get to the airport to fly to Arizona when I look down and notice two small diamonds fell out sometime. Josh wasn't happy because we had just gotten the ring and there was no time to take it back to get fixed. So we still went to Arizona March 15th and stayed with my grandma and her boyfriend Rick in their Glendale retirement community house. My aunt, uncle, and cousins live nearby as well. In Phoenix, I think. I'm not positive as to where they lived. We stayed in the guest bedroom. Now, I hadn't spoken with my grandma much either, but I heard through my mom and sisters that she had been drinking a lot and taking Vicodin. She had been depressed since Grandpa died and then moved to Arizona with Mark when he moved there. She would always have a box of wine in the fridge at all times. Her boyfriend Rick was definitely a character and no one really liked him. We all went out for St. Patrick's Day and drank at a bar. So obviously I had never met his grandparents and he hadn't seen them in many years. And so we went to their house and said, surprise, we're getting married in 2 days and want you to be there. His grandpa was in a wheelchair because he had had a stroke a year or so before that, but he was improving. They agreed to be at the courthouse on the 20th of March at 5 p.m. We then went and got the marriage license, which was $100, and it was really easy to do. Actually, too easy and too cheap to do. During that week there, we spent a lot of time swimming in the pool, and I did drink a lot of Kahlua and wine. I think my mom drove in from California the day before the wedding with Jenny. They were still smoking pot, but because they knew my grandma and I didn't approve of it, they would go out to their car, smoke it, and then come back in reeking of pot smell. The night before the wedding, I told my mom and grandma about the rape, and they wished I had told them sooner. Also, my mom understood how I felt about the miscarriage because she had 4 miscarriages altogether. She said that a lot of women who get pregnant lose their first one for many reasons. They didn't tell me at the time, but no one really liked Josh, but since we had just started talking again, she didn't want to cause any issues. To be honest, I probably wouldn't have listened to her anyway. I was still stubborn back then, and I thought I loved him. She asked me if we had a honeymoon planned, and I was like, no. And so she said she would get us a hotel room for the wedding night. The wedding day was finally there, and I had a flowery, knee-length dress that I brought from Tennessee. My mom did my hair, and Grandma gave me her wedding ring from my grandpa. We met his grandparents at the courthouse and waited a little bit, but we got there early so we'd be first in line. The picture showed me to be happy, but I honestly don't remember much about that ceremony. The judge married us in front of everyone, but the two people that were witnesses were his grandma and my sister Jen. After the ceremony, we went to a buffet to eat. Josh was the last one eating because he could eat the hell out of crab legs. When we went to the hotel room, my mom got for us. What do I remember from that night? Well, we had sex and went to sleep. The next day was a Saturday, and everyone came to my grandma's house for a little party. We had food, cake, and a few presents. It was good to see everyone, but I was also glad to be going back to Tennessee. When I got back to base, my unit was back from deployment, and so I was done working at the hospital. I learned that Fort Campbell did offer LASIX and PRK eye surgery for soldiers not wanting to wear glasses, and I wanted it done, so I got on their list. Since my periods were very consistent, I went online early April and looked up the days I'd be most likely to conceive. Josh and I had sex the 3 days it said I was most fertile. Yeah, it's disgusting now that I think about it. It takes about 7 to 10 days for a home pregnancy test to show a positive result. My PRK eye surgery was April 24th, and they did a pregnancy test before the surgery, and it was negative. Jen took me home because Josh was away at drill, and she stayed with me until Josh got home on Sunday. The surgery was very painful for about 2 days, and I couldn't open my eyes, but after that, it was fine. If I had chosen LASIK, it would not have been painful, but I would always have a flap, and I didn't want that. Anyway, I was scheduled for a bone scan to see if I had stress fractures in my shins on May 3rd, but had to make sure I wasn't pregnant. I took a pregnancy test when I woke up. I used First Response, and to be positive, there are supposed to be 2 pink lines. Well, there was 1 line, and the other line was very faint, so I wasn't sure. I walked down to Walgreens and got clear blue. I took the test, and 2 minutes later, it said pregnant. I was shocked and thought I was dreaming, but very, very happy. I told Josh when he got home, and he couldn't believe it either. I said that I was pregnant, and he picked me up and hugged me. But I was scared out of my freaking mind. I went to the doctor the next day to confirm pregnancy and get a PT profile, because I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize this pregnancy. We also waited to tell anyone until around 8 weeks after a heartbeat was detected. My due date was January 10th, 2010. About 2 weeks later, I started spotting and freaked out, thinking I lost this baby too. So I immediately went to the doctor, and no, everything was fine. They did an ultrasound to make sure. Since the military requires PT no matter what, I did pregnancy PT, which usually consisted of step aerobics or Zumba or just walking around with all the other waddlers. After my unit, which was the 86th CASH, CSH, which stands for Combat Support Hospital, got back. Work was pretty boring. We would wake up, do PT, shower and eat, formation at 8, sit in a motor pool until lunch, sit some more, and then wait around until the commander released us. It was definitely not family friendly because some nights I wouldn't get home until 7, and for no real reason. While at the motor pool, which was a big open bay with cages for the different medical departments, we would read magazines, talk, and just goof off. Instead of scrubbing in an OR, we were doing PMCSs, which are preventative maintenance checks on trucks and Humvees. We would also unpack, inventory all the mobile hospital tents, and repack it into the storage containers. It was all a bunch of busy work bullshit. While in the cache, I met 2 women I became close with, Nicole and Kayla. Nicole was a medic and had a few miscarriages, and Kayla came to the unit already very pregnant in August. Also in August, my dad, his girlfriend Bettina, and Nicole came to visit us. I was 19 weeks pregnant and showing a little, but I mainly just looked fat. We went to the caves in Kentucky and to Nashville Shores. Now, do not do this at home, but I went on all the water rides. Yeah, I was young and dumb, I guess. That night, the baby kicked me all night, as to say, yeah, dumbass, don't do that again. The next week, we went for an ultrasound and discovered it was a boy. Josh was so excited, and so was I. I called my dad, mom, and grandma. We had previously decided to keep the other previously picked out names. So he was going to be James, which is Josh's middle name, Alan, that's my dad's middle name, Roe. I did get nauseous most of the day for the first 3 months, but I never threw up or anything like that. I got bad headaches, but took Tylenol and drank a Coke, and that helped. I never had high blood pressure, so, I mean, overall, an easy pregnancy. Of course, I had terrible heartburn and lived on Tums, like 90% of the other pregnant women. So I was convinced James would come out with a ton full of hair. I really couldn't start to get excited about the pregnancy until 34 weeks, because I was always scared I was gonna end up miscarrying. So it wasn't a super happy pregnancy. It was more like a scared pregnancy. When I learned there was a chapter to get out of the military when pregnant, I considered it because they were already talking about deploying again in 9 months. I went to the commander and asked to be transferred to the hospital to work while they were deployed, and was told that I would have to deploy 2 months after having James or be chaptered out. Well, I wasn't going to leave my newborn for 6 months, and Josh was working 4:30 to 1 p.m., so there would be no daycare options. It was a hard decision because I had joined to travel and see the world, but family was more important to me, so I decided to chapter out. My last official day was the 3rd of November, 09, but I got paid until the 10th of December. I was still able to get care and delivery free of charge as long as it was at Blanchfield. Josh and I had a discussion about whether we wanted to move back to Michigan to be close to family, but there was no surgical tech schools up there, so we decided to stay in Tennessee, but move closer to Nashville. We found a townhouse apartment like 5 minutes from his work and moved the 1st of December. Now, I shouldn't have helped, but you know me, I was trying to lift boxes and ended up pulling a muscle in my abdomen. I just wanted to get settled in before James came, like to nest. The last month off was difficult because I gained almost 40 pounds total and my back was sore. Well, January 10th came and went with no baby. So I wrote this poem. It's called To My Son James. With every kick, I'm reminded that you're there. That's something only a mother and child share. Your daddy can't believe how much you move around or how much of my belly you surround. We wonder the color of your eyes and can't wait for your first cries. All those poopy diapers are not going to be fun, but it's something that has to be done. The days are drawing near until you are finally here. Your dad and I are so excited to be a family united. The past 9 months have been worth the wait, and now we can say that our life is great. No matter what we happen to go through, remember that we will always love you. I woke up around 2 a.m. on the 14th of January, 2010, with contractions, and I thought it was like the past couple of days, so I had Josh go to work, but they didn't stop and they got closer together. They were around 7 to 10 minutes apart and lasting 30 seconds each. I tried to rest, but it was difficult. At 11 a.m., Josh called and he decided to come home early because I was in pain. We left for the hospital around 12 and had to drive an hour to Fort Campbell. The contractions were not horrible, but they were definitely there. When we got to the hospital, they hooked me up to the monitors and I was 3 centimeters and 100% effaced. They told me to go walk around for 3 hours and come back. Josh and I went to the PX and walked around. The contractions got worse, but they were still manageable. The best way I can describe them is they felt like really bad poop or period cramps. And then your whole belly is hard as a rock. We went back to the hospital at 4, and I was admitted. The contraction slowed because I was laying in the bed. I had to have an IV with antibiotics because I was group B strep positive, and if you are group B strep positive, they want to get antibiotics in you because you can pass it on to the baby during childbirth. So they came in at 8 p.m. and wanted to break my water, and I said, you better give me an epidural first. So at 8:30, I got the epidural and was 4 centimeters. They broke my water at 9 and started Pitocin. At 9:30, they came rushing in because his heart rate dropped and I was 7 centimeters. They stopped the Pitocin. At 10:30, I was 9 centimeters, and at 11:45, I was complete. But I was pretty tired, so they let my body push him down until 2:45 a.m. His heart rate would drop with every contraction. So that was like an indication that the cord could be around his neck. I started pushing at 2:45 and I pushed for 30 minutes. There was a problem though. He was not tolerating the contractions and his head was positioned weird, so he was not progressing down the canal. The doctor said I pushed like a third-time mom without an epidural and he was impressed, but he was being stubborn. I was exhausted and decided to have a C-section. I don't remember much of the C-section because I was so out of it. I remember shaking a lot and that I couldn't control it. Finally, at 3:55 a.m., they made the first incision, and James was born at 3:57. I remember his first cry, and I was so relieved. Josh cut the umbilical cord, and they brought him over to see me. I said, "You were being stubborn, but I still love you." He was 7 pounds, 7 ounces, and 21 inches long. They took him to the room with Josh while I got stitched up. After I got back to the room, I tried breastfeeding and was semi-successful despite being drugged up. I thought he was very handsome, though. Josh stayed with me 2 days in the hospital and then took 2 weeks off to, quote-unquote, help me with James. Do you know what he did in those 2 weeks? Played video games. He said he couldn't help me because I was breastfeeding, and I had enough help because my mom and grandma and his mom came by. I don't think I left the couch or the living room for a month. Yeah, it was really gross, but I was recovering from major surgery and taking care of a newborn. My grandma came down first and stayed for a few nights. She would stay up all night holding him while playing Farmville on Facebook. She was so happy to be holding her first grandson. My mom came next when he was 5 to 6 weeks old. And by then I was totally exhausted from pumping and feeding and cooking and cleaning. I actually got an infection on my breast, and that's when I said enough. I wasn't producing enough anyway. So Josh didn't have any excuses to not help, right? Nope. He never once got up with him, bathed him, or changed diapers. Every day, I would have to have grilled cheese and chicken noodle soup ready for him when he got home from work at 1 p.m. He just came home, stripped down, and headed upstairs to play video games and eat his lunch. The most time he spent with us is when he would play Red Dead Redemption or Mario Kart downstairs. I would beg to go anywhere with him just to get out of the house and have adult interaction, but he never wanted to. My plan was to go back to surgical tech school because I got out of the military uncertified, and hospitals liked for you to be certified. MedVance was a 15-month program and was starting in August of 2010. I was really excited, but also nervous to leave James with Josh for even a few hours. The summer of 2010, Josh started hanging out with a coworker. Actually, it was his subordinate, because I think he was a lead and she was just a regular worker named Chris. He was like, "You two should hang out. I think you would be good friends." We did go to the park one day to play tennis, and I got like a weird vibe from her. He ended up playing with her mainly and leaving me to watch James. He also started going to Hooters at night with what he said was coworkers, but wouldn't get home until 2 or 3 a.m. I'm not dumb. I knew something was up, so I would reset the trip on my car and look at it when he got back to see how far he went. And I would leave the kitchen light on so I would know a rough time frame of when he got home, because he would never come up to bed. He would sleep on the couch. One day, I found a sock under the couch that had been masturbated into. I was furious and super grossed out. Then he started telling me that Chris had a motorcycle and they would go riding together, but not come home until 3 a.m. I also noticed he started leaving his ring on the dresser, and when I confronted him about it, he'd be like, "Oh yeah, I just forgot it today," but it happened a lot. When I started school, he constantly accused me of cheating with a classmate. I couldn't go out or text anyone. I was so over it by September that I had given up and actually started being a bitch towards him. I would take out the garbage and not take his trash out. Boy, did that infuriate him. I told him that I was done doing his laundry and cleaning up after him. He would call and text me constantly while at school, like belittling me, calling me names. So, on October 31st, after we went trick-or-treating with James for the first time around the mall, Josh asked me to put pictures of James on his flash drive. And so when I opened up the files, I saw there where he took James on a trip earlier that month with Chris and her three kids. He told me at the time it was father-son bonding time. Bullshit. I was going to confront him the next day, but the morning of November 1st, I woke up around 6 a.m., and I looked out the window to see a shit ton of cops and ambulances at the entrance of the complex. I then looked down at my phone, and a number had texted me that I didn't recognize, saying that it was Chris, and Josh was T-boned by a car on his way to work. And luckily, she was able to rush over and ride with him in the ambulance. He was being taken to Vanderbilt. I was like, why the hell was she with him, and why did no one contact me? Well, I guess the police did try to bang on the door, but I sleep with a fan on, so I didn't hear it. I rushed to the hospital, and Chris met me in the lobby. She said she was on the phone with him and heard the crash and rushed over. He had a shattered pelvis, broken ribs, and a punctured lung, but still alive, unfortunately. I left James with Chris and went up to the ICU to see him. All he wanted was his wallet and phone, so I went down and picked it up from security. And, you know, while I had the opportunity, I looked through his phone to find he would text her "Good morning, beautiful," every morning and call her multiple times a day. That really pissed me off. She stayed at his bedside for 2 days straight. People were like, "Why are you not up there?" Well, let me see. I have a baby to take care of. I go to school, and he has nurses to take care of him. Let the homewrecker deal with him, because I was done. He went to rehab for a couple weeks, too. Is it bad that I wanted to put cocoa powder on his food because he was anaphylactically allergic? I mean, I just thought it. I never did it, obviously. James hated going to visit him, but I would try to go a couple of times a week. I tried to confront him about his trip with Chris, but he had nothing to say, like usual. He got out of rehab on his birthday, which was November 17th, and he wanted me to take James up to Olive Garden to celebrate. because it was his favorite place to eat. Guess who showed up? Yep, Chris, and they were all over each other the whole meal, with some of his coworkers there. I finally left right after I ate and was enraged and humiliated. He didn't have to invite her, or he could have just told me not to come, but he wanted to look like a good dad with James there. Our lease was up December 1st, and we decided to get our own places, but since I wasn't working, I had to rely on him for support. He agreed to only give me $425 a month. With that, I found a one-bedroom apartment, but it wasn't in a good area at all. Come to find out, Josh got himself and Chris a two-bedroom apartment in the same complex, a few buildings down, to make it easier on James. That's what he said. It was really so he could spy on me. I refused to let James spend the night over there since he was living with the whore and her three kids in a two-bedroom apartment. Not to mention, he had never gotten up with them in the middle of the night or really even taken care of them. The whole situation was a nightmare. That is probably a good stopping point. This is where my 3+ year nightmare started. Next episode will cover the long, drawn-out divorce. If you have any questions, please shoot me an email at becomingadampodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11.